All right, we're going to jump in, and it's interesting because I just want to say this. I think we looked at this book of Daniel. I just want to say this by out loud. We look at this book of Daniel like we read scripture like chapter one of Daniel, and then we move into chapter two of Daniel. And for us, it's like reading the Bible is like either we read one chapter one the next day and then chapter two the next day. But literally the life of Daniel, it says that Daniel was there as a later teenager between 15 and 17 or 18. They actually say more 15. And he was in captivity until he was 85 years old. And so hear me out. Like, this story of Daniel is a 70-year story of what's going on of captivity and him feeling in bondage and seeing this. And so it's interesting because I skipped over chapter 4 because we went through 1 and 2 and we talked about, and just to let you guys know, last week we talked about in a Daniel in a lion's den and how God is, you know what I'm saying, God sent an angel to hold the lion's mouth open. And then we talked about before how, you know what I'm saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in a fire, which is crazy because it wasn't Daniel. It was his friend. So it's kind of a crazy story, but he was in a different province. And then we talked before about the prayer, and I talked about the importance of prayer. And this is all I want to say about prayer. I just want to send a reminder. When we talked about prayer, I said, I think what we're losing through the past generations about prayer is, We offer prayers of like almost tokens, and we kind of just say, God, I prayed for my meal, you know what I'm saying? I prayed for my day, and that's not bad. Listen, that's great. But there used to be a phrase growing up that I heard all the time was, we're going to pray it through. We're going to pray until we feel. And what Daniel, how Daniel would pray is that he would pray until God gave him peace that he's released from that prayer. And my hope for our church is that and that when you pray for your kids and you pray for needs and you pray for family, that we go to the Lord and God, I pray that God, number one, gives us a burden, what to pray for, and number two, that we learn to pray it through. Amen? And not just quick prayers, but saying, God, what are you speaking? But here's what happens. And I skipped over chapter 4 because not that it's the most important, but I think it's really interesting because of the life of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4 opens up with a king's dream. He has another dream. If you notice before, he had a dream, and if you remember the story, the first dream, he wanted his wise people to interpret it. And he said, which we may kind of make fun of that day, but he said, not only does I want my wise people to interpret it, I'm not going to even tell them what my dream is. I need somebody to tell me my dream that I had and interpret it, and they couldn't do it. And he says, if you can't do it, I'm going to rip you from limb to limb. And then Daniel came and not only told him the dream, but interpreted it. So he started having his platform being built. Daniel started being trustworthy. And then in chapter 4, and this is many years later, the king Nebuchadnezzar had another dream. And it was a dream. It's not going to be up on the screen. I'm going to paraphrase this first part. It says the king's dream, it was broken in two parts. The first part says this. The king saw a vast tree. This is in a sleep. He saw a vast tree with leaves and branches stretching as far as the eye could see, birds nested in the branches, and animals found shade under its leaves. That's the first part. The second part says, the tree was cut down and stripped. It was full of life, but then it was cut down and stripped, and the stump bound with an iron and bronze. Then somehow the stump became a person who lived among the animals for 7 years. Evidently, this person lost his mind completely. So you have this flourishing tree that life was living in it, and then all of a sudden it was stripped and cut down, and it was barren. And so the king, of course, says, who is a wise person who can interpret this dream? And because of the past, all of a sudden he goes, I'm going to find Daniel, and Daniel can help me with this. Because it wasn't just a dream. It says that he woke up in anguish. Like he woke up just going, there's something here. God, he knew God was speaking to him. And this is after he saw Shadrach and Meshach in the fire, and he's the one that said there's a fourth person in there. This is after the other dreams. This is after, and this has been Daniel been living in that kingdom. And it says this, Daniel interprets. And interprets a dream. Daniel 4:22, he interprets a dream, and this is what he says. Guys, this is the best line ever. He says, he looks at the king, and he says, you, O king, are the tree. Let that sink in for a little bit. He says many other things, but he pretty much just says, you are that tree. you are the thing that produced, that had a lot of things. The birds were coming, and it was full of life. And then God's going to bring it down to a stump, and you're going to go insane. Daniel 4:25 says this. This is what Daniel says. You will be driven away from people, and you will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 times, which means 7 years, will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them anyone that he wishes. So for 7 years, it says this. And then the dream, we're going to continue here. Then the dream was fulfilled. Daniel 4:28 says, all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. And I want you to hear this. In order of time, it says that Daniel heard this dream, gave this to the king, and says, King Nebuchadnezzar, now listen, King Nebuchadnezzar had the kingdom. Every time he took over a nation, he took all their possessions, all their people, all their things, all their gold, everything. So here's a guy with all the riches, all the things, and he had it all. He had servants abound. And Daniel, because he had a platform, he says, listen, the dream, you're the tree. And in 7 years, it's going to happen to you. Between when Daniel told him the dream and when it came to pass, there was 12 months. So it wasn't like God said, here it is. If you don't change your ways by tomorrow, you're going to go insane. He literally gave him time, and he says, listen, it says months later, it says sometime later, all that was said was going to happen. Daniel 4:29 says this, through 30 says, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, is not this great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? He's literally declaring out loud, I built this. I did this. Isn't this all mine? I have built this with my own hands. Daniel 4:33 says this, immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people, and he ate grass like cattle. He went from the palace to the pasture. I'm not kidding. This is what began. He started going nuts. And of course you would go nuts because you're literally in the palace being fed grapes. And now you're with the cattle because God has sent you out there and you're going crazy. You're saying, this is, and you're looking up to the palace. You're going, I used to live there. And it says, he was driven from the people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. Isn't that amazingly beautiful story? Think about that. This guy who was adorned with jewelry started going insane because he started to lose everything that he worked for. He started losing everything. I want to read this. This is one of the things I read in the book. It says, one moment he was surveying his royal kingdom, and the next he was ripping off his clothing, making strange snorting noises, and galloping on all fours, pretty much. He soon went from running the community of Babylon to totally just running and scared. And it says that he was this way for 7 years. 7 years. You might be thinking, that's not very... Now, this is the same guy who if you could not interpret the dreams, if you cannot even share the vision, he would rip you limb to limb. This is the same guy that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down and worship his idol. That even the prisoners that threw him in there all died and he didn't even care. This is the same guy that would kill people in an instant and have no, qualms about it. They would just do it. And so this guy's now the guy in the loony bin in the field. It's interesting, from the palace to the pasture. This is what's going on. But here's what I love, the Lord. It says in Daniel 4:34, the king is restored. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven. Yes. Now, I'm just going to let you know, if you read this chapter, it opens up by somebody's telling a story, not Nebuchadnezzar. It's almost like it's like Daniel's writing the story about what happened. And in this verse 30 on or 34 on, it's actually a personal journal of Nebuchadnezzar. So he goes from somebody writing his story to he's writing his own story. And all of a sudden you get this where here's where he begins to write his own story. At the end of it, he says, At the end of that time, he's writing this, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. He's like, went from like an eagle claws to like going crazy in a pasture to all of a sudden he looked up to the Lord and his everything came together. It says that his sanity was restored. And then I, not we, not you, I praise the Most High. I honored and glorify him who lives forever. He, remember this? Leading up to this, he was saying, this is my kingdom. This is my stuff. I built this. I am the Lord. I want people to worship me. To him saying, listen, I lifted my eyes to the Lord, and he was, I praise the Most High God. And suddenly, when he lost his mind, he regained in an instant. And then I love this. It continues, Daniel 34, 35, the king declares, his dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation. He's not talking about himself. He's talking about God. His from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of earth. No one can hold back his hand to say to him, what have I done? He's literally, what he's doing, he's saying, I have no control at that. I thought I had no control, but I didn't surrender. He's literally just admitting, he's saying, I'm confessing here. I'm confessing. And I love this. I wrote this in my notes. It says that he looked up, eyes towards heaven. He woke up. He became sane, like his eyes were opened up, and he spoke up. He started praising the heaven. And it says that God changed his heart. Now, can I tell you this? Here's the truth today. If God can change Nebuchadnezzar, he can change anybody. Man, if he can change that guy. I love the scripture verse, and I think it's Psalms that says, the arm of the Lord is not too short that it cannot save. I love the scripture verse that talks about that God's love goes forward and that his mission is to bring the sheep, that he loves his sheep, that if one sheep is gone, that he will go after that one sheep. It's amazing to me that we serve a God that even when, I'm telling you, a couple weeks ago, I had you guys write down 5 impossible people that God wants you to pray for this year. The 5 names. And everybody just close your eyes for the second. I just want you to imagine this. If you can just close your eyes and put down your pens, and if you weren't here, well, here's what I challenge everybody saying. What are the 5 people in your life? Maybe they drive you nuts. Maybe you just can't. Maybe they're a bully. Maybe they're people. Maybe they're family. Maybe, but they don't have a relationship with the Lord. And here's what I'm asking your question. Who are the 5 people that come to your mind right now that God has put in your heart to pray for? Here's what I want you to start imagining. Imagine them worshiping next to you on a Sunday morning. You're already thinking, there's no way that's going to happen. I'm going to remind you, if God can change Nebuchadnezzar, he can change anybody. Think about them. Just think about having coffee with them and open up your Bible and just praying with them. Think about having a conversation on a phone. And instantly we think, there's no way. There's no way this can happen. There's no way that God can restore the sanity to this person. Everybody look up here. Look, we serve a God who, at the end times, they literally said that at the end time, that it's going to be so bad, it's going to be like Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. He is so bad. They compare it to some of the worst. And so I'm just got one point today, and this is what I'm going to share. Number one, God worked in and through Daniel. God worked in and through Daniel. This whole thing is God, just God working through his people. Can I just tell you the coolest thing about this? Here is Babylon taking over nations. Like, seriously, Judah tried to attacked them, they lost. So you got Babylon just taking over these countries and taking over armies. And you would think in our culture, you're thinking, let's take out Babylon. Let's take them out. So maybe somebody says, let's form a coup. Let's start a riot. Let's form an army. Let's come against. What can we do? How can we stand against these people? What can we do to fight against these people? And I love this because God doesn't work that way. And instead he goes, I have a better idea. I'm going to send a bunch of teenagers named Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego in a nation to live in exile to work from the inside out. That is the craziest thing to me. He's saying, well, we should form an army. We can form an army bigger. And God says, listen, I already got an army bigger. I don't need a bigger army. I just need a few reliable people to go on the inside and infiltrate from the inside and work their way up after 70 years and see a change. And I love this because he begins to pray and fast and begins to look that God began to change from the inside. And I believe God uses the exiles that are not even from Babylon to work in Babylon, to thrive in Babylon, to change Babylon from the inside out. God uses people on the inside who think, I have no power, I have no authority, I'm not even from here. And you know what I'm saying? And God uses exiles to change the heart of a king in a matter of years. This is what I love. Their pain became their platform. They were people who, they had pain. They suffered. It's interesting because we look at the life of Daniel and we wonder, man, that guy was a superhero. That guy, man, God used him mightily. Can I just tell you, he wasn't a superhero. He was a normal guy that God used. Even in the lion's den, he couldn't protect himself from the lions. God sent an angel to hold the lion's mouth open because he couldn't do anything. It says that he, even at that time, he was in his late 70s in the lions den. He couldn't wrestle a lion anyway. You know, I'm not saying 70-year-olds can't wrestle lions. I'm just saying it's not natural. And so it's interesting. Here you got Daniel, who is literally in this moment. And we think about him. You think, well, Daniel had God. Of course he had God, but so do you. He's thinking, well, Daniel had strength. Can I just tell you this? One of the things I didn't speak about that I want to share is it says that these became teenagers. Now, this is not in Scripture, but this is what they think. It never mentions Daniel's kids or wife in Scripture. And most scholars believe that he was never married, never had kids. It actually says in Scripture that Daniel, Meshach, and Shadrach, and Abednego, one of the things that they were in charge of was the eunuchs. Which, if you don't understand what a eunuch is you lose your manly side. Like, they just get rid of it, so you can't produce. Now, think about this. They say that one of the first things they did to some of the slaves that they wanted to put into authority positions is that they made them eunuchs. So one of the reasons you don't hear Daniel's wife or Daniel's kids is because it says that he couldn't have kids, and you know what I'm saying? He never took on a wife. Now hear me out. So you have Daniel who is now in exile. He's ripped from his family. He can't have a family. He has a few friends. He's no longer home. You know what I'm saying? He's an outcast. He's in exile. And think about this. He's probably made fun of. He was probably beaten. And yet, God put him exactly where he needed to be at. He was right where God wanted him. Daniel was faithful, and he was resolute. And Daniel continued. Listen, daily he continued. If you could put that picture up there, Mike, of the I just want you guys to understand this. And the reason I point this out is because I hope this makes sense. In the orange up top, you have the Babylonian captivity, and which is, you know what I'm saying, like the 7 years. And then you have, you know, the book of Daniel going on here. And then you have Jeremiah. Like I said, part of Jeremiah, he's prophesying. Part of Ezekiel is prophesying. And then you have the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar. But I want you to understand this because, like I said in the beginning, when we read this as, oh, chapter 1, and then the next day you read chapter 2, like you're thinking it's the next day. Because it's the next day for you, you think it's the next day for him. But what's happening is, it's not like one day there's a fiery furnace, and then the next day there's Daniel in the lion's den. Between these events, there could be, instantly, between 5 years and 20 years between these chapters. what's happening is, so the question raises this thing, well, what happens in between? We don't know. That's what I think is pretty awesome, because we think it's one event after another, but here's what I want you to understand. Even in our own life, we have these bucket lists, and we're like, we're going to make this year amazing. We're going to do, listen, as a parent, I want to have great, I want to do vacations, I want to make great years, I want to do it. I want to make every moment count, but listen to me. Some days are not amazing. You guys hear me out here? Anybody in here have an amazing day every single day? Yeah, some of us. It's like watching the Lego movie. You know, you got one guy saying everything is awesome, and everybody else is like complaining, going, it's not an amazing day. And what's amazing about it is that not every day there's something supernatural happening. Not every day is you're in a lion's den. Not every day are you literally in a fiery furnace. Not every day you're going through this, but there are days. And here's what I want to tell you. Not every day is a burning bush experience. But daily, Daniel resolved, and every day is a prepping day for your next experience. Most days are just training days. If I ask any athlete in this room, what's the most important time of anything when you're in sports? It's not the day of the game. It's getting ready for the game and when you're training for something. It's all your training you do to get ready for it. I believe what we can learn from Daniel is this. It's about the in-between. It's not one big experience after another. It's one daily decision that you make after another. It's taking the moments and making those moments count. Now listen, anybody know what this is? I know Dar knows what this is. Dar, you probably see this all the time, right? Our actor Dar. So this is called a movie board. Anybody know that was the name of it? It's called a movie board. Here's the reason they do this is because when you're shooting a movie, you've probably seen this before where they start doing a scene and they say cut or they say start, whatever, and they do all this kind of thing. The reason they do this is because when you're making a movie, you actually have the videos being shot. Now, when you shoot a video, you have audio and you have video going on. So you have the scenes going on. And so on here, you can actually write things like the date, how many times, what clip this is, all this kind of stuff. So they're constantly changing this out. But when you say you're ready and you hit it and you hit it loud, it makes a sound. It makes a high-pitched frequency. So here's what happens. So that means when you're doing that, on the reel, you start recording before this and you drop this down, the movie board clip. So when you start editing the video, you see where that spike is on the audio. So what begins to happen is you have the video playing and you're making sure, because you might have a different, you have those boom mics. Is this right so far? Thanks. So he's helped me out here. So then you have these boom mics that's actually recording what you're saying. And so you have a different audio source than you do from the video. So when you're editing the film and making sure everything lines up, what you're looking for is that spike that you can see, it's like a normal thing, and there's a spike, it looks like a heart monitor, and then it goes in. So you can line up the audio with the video. You guys all hear me so far? You're trying to make these things come together. You're trying to make the editing come together. I'm telling you, this is what I believe is so important about our spiritual life, because this is what we need to do. We need to make sure our audio is the same with our video. What I'm saying is we need to walk in such a way, when I say like Daniel, I mean like Jesus. We need to walk like the Lord in such a way our walk and our talk are matching up. That the things that we say are the things that we walk. Because I hear people say, God is good, but when problems come, they're like, God is bad. I hear people say, I trust the Lord, but when things arise, they're like, I'm out. I hear people say, yep, I'm giving God our family, but when something comes up, you're like, I don't know. I don't know if I trust God with this. Listen, is the way we live matching up with what God, with the way we talk? Is our things, is the way we walk it out? It's interesting because I'll put it to you this way. In our lives, I really believe, and this is just something in me the last few years I've been challenged by. This is just me being honest. And I know I've shared this before, but sometimes at Father's Day in the beginning of the year, I share the story about the big rocks and the small rocks. But I talk about balance and priorities. And some of you heard me say this, but I'm just going to be honest. Before I became a pastor, I shared at this pastor's thing, and I was sharing a bunch of future pastors, and I talked about the balance in ministry. And I won't ever forget this. Brianna, you guys can come up here. We're going to close. I talked about the balance in ministry, and I talked about how to balance out your spiritual life. Like, how do you balance off your work with your, with, you know what I'm saying, with your job, and how do you balance off this? And I just talked about being balanced. After I got done, I felt, if you were to ask me, how'd you do? I said, I did amazing. You know what I'm saying? It flowed. It felt right. And I get those people who just pop your bubble right away. A pastor friend that I respect came up to me and goes, Jarvis, that was good. But it was wrong. But it was good. You presented right, but it was wrong. And I said, what? He says, you missed something. And I said, what is this? And I trust this guy, so I said, what? He goes, actually, balance is off. He goes, it's not balance. This is what you need to balance. It's priorities. He goes, balance is this way, and priorities is this way. He says, so balance is like you're on a balance beam. You're saying, I got my work, I got my church, I got my Christian friends, I got my unchurch friends, I got things I should be doing, I should be doing, and you're trying to balance this out. But when you do that, something's going to tip at some point. It's not going to, you know what I'm saying? You're always like this. Something's higher than. And he says, but when you have priorities, it's top down. So if you have you and your Lord first, so here's mine. I'm just going to throw mine out there. It's me and my relationship with the Lord, number one. And then after, some of you might not like this, but I'm going to be honest with you. Then it's me and my wife. I like her than all you all. And then it's me and my kids. You might be thinking, you like your wife more than your kids? Yes, for sure. I love my kids, but I love my wife. And I want my kids to understand. My kids even ask me sometimes, you love us more than you love mom? Nope. But I love you guys more than anybody else, but I still love mom more than you. And they're like, ah. Then I love my kids. But I'm telling you, listen. And then I love what God has called me to do, which is you guys in the church and the ministry. But I don't want to ever sacrifice my family and my relationship with the Lord because of church. Is that making sense? Like, if I feel like this is out of skew, then I can't do this anymore. This doesn't work. The reason I say that is, and it was confirmed, I heard this about 2 years ago, and my nephew Alex and I had a conversation. He confirmed it again a few months ago, but it was a pastor named Steve Furtick who brought this up, and it really revolutionized the way I think. That I used to talk about balance and priorities, and then I realized that's wrong. Because it's not about balance and priorities. Of course, that's better, having priorities. But the question is, it's not, is Jesus first? The question is Jesus the center? Because what began to happen is, it's almost like a checklist. Did we make Jesus first today? Did I do my devotion today? Yep, did I do God's? Yep, I checked Jesus off. He was number one. And then I talked to my wife. And then, you know, I said, love you, have a great day. She was number two. And then I went to my kids. I love them, send them to school. That was number three. And then, you know, you go through and he said, did I text people at church? That was number four. And you start going through this and it says, it becomes a checklist. But here's what the Lord has been really showing me in the last few months. The question is the Lord center of your life? Here's what I ask you. I'm not asking you, is he the Lord the center of your devotional life? Is the Lord the center of your marriage? Is he the center of your heart? Think about work. You might own a business. You might work at a business. You might volunteer. I don't know what it is. But is the Lord the center of where you work? Is the Lord the center of your friends? Is the Lord the center of, you know what I'm saying, your words? Is the Lord a center of your pastime? Because here's what I like about Daniel. You know why Daniel was able to stand before the king? Because he knelt before his Lord. And you will never be insecure about standing before anybody in this world when you kneel before your Lord, because your identity is found in who God is and not because of these people around you, because the Lord becomes your center. The Lord becomes your insurance and your hope in these things. And amazing, I just want to read this. Don't try to be like Daniel in the lion's den. Try to be like Daniel who prayed every day with integrity in those in between moments. Integrity is practiced in private and displayed in public. But most people will never have the opportunity to prove God's faithfulness in the lion's den because they have not proved their faith in every day. Don't try to be like Daniel there. Be like Daniel who prayed every day for integrity, prayed that God, he can serve God continually. And I'm telling you, this has become my life verse this year. Psalm 51, 1 through 3. It's going to be on the screen. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. And I love this. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing heart to sustain me. Is he the center? Everybody stand up this morning. We're going to close. Can I just be honest with you? I wish there was a secret sauce. I wish somebody says, what's the secret? What's the secret to following? What's the secret? If I can give you any secret sauce, here it is. Please put this in your brain. Deposit this, whatever you can do. It says this. Stay dependent and surrender to the Lord. Don't just rely upon what you've done before, or your past, or this worked before. Stay dependent upon the Lord and stay surrendered. 1 Corinthians 15, it's going to be up on the screen, says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Let nothing move you. Stand firm in your faith. And this is what I'll say, listen, is this matching up? Is this matching up? Is my audio and my video matching up? Is my life matching up with what I preach? Is my life matching up with the way I say things? Is my life matching up? Do my kids see it? Does my wife see it? Not does Pastor Jarvis see it, because I don't live with you, but do the people you admire? Listen, one of my goals in life is to be the same person here on a stage as I am with my wife and my kids at home. If I can just be surrendered and be the center and just say, listen, God, and that means to have God be the center, that means you need to surrender it all and say, God, you run my business. Lord, I'm not going to push it through. Lord, you run these people I hire. Lord, you do this. Everybody close your eyes, bow your heads this morning.